Hey everybody,
this is Y'all Heard,
a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips,
and we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world, from
food
to fetishes,
celebrities
to unsung heroes. From things you think you know to
things you didn't know you needed to know.
Marissa, how was your Easter? Or what did you do for Easter? My mom asked me what you did for Easter. I'm like, I don't know.
So
now I'm doing the research. I'm getting okay. The answers.
I went to my family's house. There was an Easter party that I didn't know if I wanted to go to. Because for some reason, our Easter parties are segregated, where women are upstairs and men are downstairs, and I didn't want my husband to have to live through that.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt bad because I haven't seen my parents in a little while. So I said, I'll go the day. Oh, the party was on Saturday. I'll tell you what I did on Easter in a minute. Anyway, so I was like, let's go Friday, spend time with my family. And then we go to the party for a little bit, and then we leave. And of course, my whole family got really angry at me. Because we're never allowed to leave a party early. Anyway, so that happened before Easter. And then for Easter proper, we went to a buffet that cost $200. it said $75 per person, which is a lot. And then they make you pay the tip up front. So it was $200. We definitely did not eat $200 worth.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, that was intense. Yeah, that was it. How about you?
Yeah, I also went home. Went to mom's. I don't know, guys. The weather's been shitty. Everything sucks.
I know.
But, yeah, for Easter we had turkey because my mom just happened to have a turkey in the freezer.
Oh, that's nice.
And she was like, I gotta get rid of this. So we're having turkey. And my sister had gluten-free lasagna.
Oh, is anyone gluten-free?
With her gastric stuff, she has to eat smarter carbs.
Okay.
So it was brown rice noodles.
Okay.
And she was happy with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you get candy?
I bought candy, but I have a bunch of Easter candy I didn't eat yet. So no,
okay.
I bought it and I've been trying to eat a little bit better, so I didn't eat it yet. Why is my mother calling me? Guys, I have no problem with my mother calling me, but she tends to call me while we're recording. I'm sorry,
people. It's like she waits.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, Aaron's like, so what's punk? Is this punk? And then he played something, and I was like, no. And then he like, played something else, and I was like, that's pop punk. In college, I would have told you, no. Mm-hmm. And then he played another one, and I was like, that is ska. And then I taught him what ska was, and then I showed him what skanking was, which he'd never seen in his life. You know what skanking is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Aaron has a really lucky life.
The
things that you are exposing him to are things he doesn't need to be exposed to.
I know. But so he put on ska music, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is ska. It's a little punky, but no, this is ska. Back in the day, I would have done this. And then I started skanking, and he was like, what? And I was like, no. This is the way you dance to ska music. And he was like, what? And then he tried to do it. And then we both skanked in a circle. And then he started laughing. And he was like, you had a life. And I was like, I did. And that was it. I gave my husband an education on punk and ska for like a half hour. Man, I'm really still pretentious. I want you to know that I know that. Anyway, let's move on.
Icebreaker.
Today, I bring you an icebreaker from like 125 icebreakers for college students.
Okay.
Marissa.
Uh-huh.
What? What is your favorite time of the day?
What? Ooh, I would say
one of the icebreakers on this list was, have you ever seen Toy Story? If so, who's the voice of Woody?
That's
a trivia question.
Yeah, then one person answers it. You need it to be something everyone can answer. I would say like at 10 o'clock, I'm still full of hope.
Nice.
Yeah, 10 o'clock, I'm still full of hope, but it's not like 8 a.m. because I want to kill everyone because I don't want to be awake at 8 a.m. 10 o'clock, it's early enough that the day feels full of possibilities, but I'm not exhausted. Or maybe like 8 o'clock where I feel like it's an acceptable time to drink, but the day's not over. And yeah, so probably 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock. Or only if I'm alone. If I live with some, I'm sorry, I do live with someone. If anyone else is in the house with me, this does not apply. But if I'm totally alone, midnight, because I feel like I at least have 5 more hours I can really go hard. I'm sorry, midnight on a weekend. I love
you still
midnight
have
on a weekend.
5
when
more
I'm alone.
Hours at midnight?
At midnight, yeah, I like go to sleep at 5 a.m. if I'm alone. And I love knowing like everyone's asleep. It's just like, yeah.
Oh, I'm a little rascal out in the world.
I'm a little rascal. I'm going to be playing video games. I'm going to be drinking. I'm going to be on the internet. I'm going to go hard. Yeah.
You're going to live through the witching hour.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, whenever someone else isn't in the house, I lose. I become a scumbag.
And sometimes when someone is in the house.
Usually I try to keep myself together when I'm not alone. Anyway, how about you?
I feel like this question, there's a lot that depends on my answer. Because I think I'm with you, sort of like mid-morning feels good. But if I had my way, it would be early to mid-afternoon because okay. I would be napping. Unfortunately, I have a job that does not allow for siesta. Speaking of being, you know, who you want to be on the weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I take a nap at 1 o'clock.
Ooh, wow. You remind me of our elderly mentor in grad school who used to tell me she would take a midday nap.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. That's all. You remind me of Sarah. And I was
life.
I shame myself out of naps. I don't allow myself to take naps. I only take naps when I'm sick or I ate gluten.
Huh. That's a forced nap.
Yeah, yeah. I only take forced naps.
Forced naps. Let's see. How do I get from there?
There doesn't need to be a segue. Just start your topic. I feel like we've caged ourselves in.
Speaking of being forced and snapping.
Okay. No. No.
One of our loyal listeners, Michael Vinos, emailed a while back.
Did I know about this?
He sent a few ideas for show topics, and I believe I did not share them with you so that I could hoard them for myself for when I didn't have ideas.
Bitch. Okay.
And I have to be honest, one of the options was Bean Dad. And I was like, Bean Dad? Everybody knows Bean Dad. Why would I cover Bean Dad?
Yeah, I like vaguely remember Bean Dad, and then wasn't Bean Dad problematic for some reason?
Yeah.
I forget it all, but yeah.
And what occurred to me is that the Bean Dad situation went down 4 days prior to the insurrection.
Oh, wasn't Bean Dad like the singer of some band you like or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I recall thinking of you when Bean Dad happened, but yeah, okay. Man.
So, I feel like Bean Dad could have gone on a little longer.
If the insurrection didn't happen.
Yes, if no one stormed the White House.
Do you think he, seeing that he was getting bad press, sort of encouraged?
Yes, incited, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, incited. I was saying encouraged, but incited. Whoa, okay.
So, I was torn this week over topics. I was torn between the present and the past. The present would be covering the 9-month world cruise.
Oh, wait. Did that actually happen, or is that one of the ones that went?
Oh, no, it's happening.
Oh, because there was another one that was supposed to be, like, a few years, and I think they lost money, and, like, everyone canceled, and they, yeah, anyway, so I didn't know that was happening. That's dumb.
What I realized was the only thing I want to know about it is how can you afford a ticket and to take 9 months off of work?
I will say, for the one that got canceled, that was a bunch, that was years long, a bunch of people were retirees, and unfortunately, I don't know why, a lot of people cashed out their life savings,
mm-hmm.
which is psychotic, but continue.
So my other option was The Past, which is a man watching his 9-year-old struggle to open a can of beans. And because it was easier on me, I thought, I went with The Past. Okay. So here is the story of Bean Dad and why your heroes shouldn't have personal lives.
For the record, you could have just went into Bean Dad. None of us would have faulted you. You didn't have to explain why you went into Bean Dad. Did you feel guilty? Like, we're all going to be like, fucker, we all know Bean Dad?
Not really. But
oh, okay.
There once was a man, and his name was John Roderick. He spent time in the touring band for the 90s... temporarily it kind of maybe, well, let's call them one-hit wonders, Harvey Danger.
Okay.
Which seemed to give him enough confidence so that he could go out on his own with a band called The Long Winters. They released an album in 2006 called Putting the Days to Bed. I love this album. If you played it right now, I would know all the words.
Mm.
Like Harvey Danger, there was interesting wordplay and catchy music. So imagine my surprise several years after the Bean Dad incident when I connected the dots that John Roderick was Bean Dad.
Oh, okay. So you didn't know at first.
When it was happening, I did not know.
Shit. Okay. Got it.
I was on Twitter and I followed him, but I didn't know he was Bean Dad.
Wow.
Because
okay.
I didn't use Twitter very much, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
So, in January 2021, John Roderick's 9-year-old daughter comes to him hungry. He is doing a jigsaw puzzle, and he tells her to make some beans. At this point, I'm going to screen share with you because there was no way I was going to read all of this shit and get it right.
Okay. By the way, like baked beans? Because what kind of beans, in what way?
Yeah, baked beans.
Oh, okay. Oh, God, I love baked beans.
She said, how? Like all kids do when they want you to do it. So I said, open a can and put it in pot. She brought me the can and said, open it how? With a can opener, I said, incredulous. She brought me the can opener and we both stared at it. I realized I'd never taught her to use it. Most cans now have pull tops. I felt like a dope. What kind of apocalypse father doesn't teach his kid how to use a manual can opener? Now, in case you missed that,
I love this audio, this music behind it, for the record, so dynamic.
I wanted to throw something in to make it feel more compelling.
Yeah, I love it.
He does call himself an apocalypse dad.
Okay, why? Because he has a lot of beans? I don't understand.
I guess because he thinks the world's going to end. I don't really know.
I mean, I wouldn't announce that, but okay.
So I said, how do you think this works? She studied it and applied it to the top of the can sideways. She struggled for a while and with a big dramatic sigh said, will you please just open the can? Apocalypse Dad was overjoyed. A teaching moment just dropped in my lap.
Wait, he called himself Apocalypse Dad?
Yes.
That's obnoxious. Sorry. Continue, sorry.
This little device is designed to do one thing, open cans. Study the parts, study the can. Figure out what the can opener inventor was thinking when they tried to solve this problem. The can opener is also a bottle opener, but I explained that part wasn't relevant. I went back to my jigsaw puzzle. She was next to me grunting and groaning, trying to get the thing. I should say that spatial orientation, process visualization, and order of operation are not things she intuits. So here I feel like he's calling his daughter stupid.
I was going to say this entire thing is more obnoxious than I recall it being.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't like
it. I knew this would be a challenge, but it was a rainy weekend. Eventually she collapsed in a frustrated heap. I said, explain the parts. She said, this little wheel is meant to cut. These gears turn the wheel when you spin the handle. This other wheel looks like a gear but isn't. She couldn't figure out the clamping step, a key element. I said, this tool is made to be pleasing, but it doesn't have any superfluous qualities. This tool is made to be pleasing.
I feel like that's the most. I don't agree with that.
That's the most. That's the one that I focused on the most. I'm just like, a can opener is made to be pleasing?
Yeah, I would beg to differ.
I mean, I've seen some sexy can openers, but like your run-of-the-mill can opener is not built to be sexy. You have to build some contours.
Aesthetically pleasing, like visually pleasing, physically pleasing.
Spiritually pleasing.
Yeah, what does that even mean?
All right. Just so you guys know, this is 4.5 minutes total. but we're already two down.
Oh, okay.
Everything that moves does so for a reason. She said, I hate you. I'm sure she believes that she does. I said, you understand everything except how the tool addresses the can. She sighed. At this point, she said, I don't want baked beans, and marched off. Apocalypse Dad went into full the road mode. Sweetheart, neither of us will eat another bite today until we get into this can of beans. She's...
This is intolerable.
Anybody can have kids.
Man, he just had kids so he could condescend.
Greened, arr, like Lucy Van Pelt. She read a book for a while. Soon, she was back at the can. The top was all dented now, the lip of the can practically serrated from failed attempts. We studied the tool some more. She really wanted it to be oriented up and down or across the top of the can. The sideways orientation is very counterintuitive. She was fixed on orienting the tool. In less than 3 sentences, he says orient 3 times.
God. Also, can I just say, I understand him trying to get her to learn how to use it. I'm, whatever. That's fine. She's 9. That's too old to tell her. She can just go to the kitchen to eat something herself.
Something besides beans, yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that he said, we're not going to eat anything until you figure it out, if I was her, I can still tap into my child mind and say, I would say my father's psychotic. So I will say, like, that's a bit of a stretch in the effort to make her learn about fucking how to use a can opener. But anyway.
Yeah. Cool, in a few configurations, but couldn't imagine other possibilities. I compared the can opener to other tools. By now, we were working on anger management and perseverance, too. She suggested she open the can with a hammer. There were tears. Finally, she squeezed down on it and... although it was a misfire, a light went on in her head. Many times throughout the day, she yelled at me, my brain is fuzzy, I can't think of anything else to try. And I said, when your brain doesn't work, trust your hands. She set up again carefully and brought the swing away to bear on the can of S&W baked beans. A soft pop resounded in the room, so different from all the other sounds we made. She didn't look up, she knew the action. A little baked bean juice appeared. She savored each twist until the lid, as I hoped it would, rewarded her, standing perfectly at attention, saluting her effort and ingenuity. She was elated and carried it to the kitchen in both hands. She knew that this was a commonplace task and a common tool, but also that this was serious business. She knows her dad and the stock I put in these things.
God, I don't want to know her dad.
Now, to cover things, we started with the problem. We found one solution. And eventually this poor kid suffers through it, gets to the other side. But it's not good enough.
Wait, there's more to this?
Yeah.
Also, I will say, whatever, I'm not like, oh, fuck him so much. He's just annoying so far. Would I elect to choose his approach? Absolutely not. But I would say what bothers me the most is that he calls himself Apocalypse Dad, and he seems really pleased with himself.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely very pleased with himself.
Yeah.
A more technically inclined kid might have figured it out in minutes. She was rightfully proud. I'm proud of her, too. I know I'm infuriating. I know this is parenting theater in some ways. I suffer from a lack of perseverance myself, and like all parents throughout history, I'm trying to correct my own mistakes in the way that I educate my child. She sees through this. The Swing Away Can Opener is a little voodoo doll for us now. It will reappear as an allegory many times in her life. She knows this too. But this is an allegory of triumph. I wish I had more of those for myself. The only problem is, now she wants to open every fucking can in the house.
Okay.
Marissa, what was that last part?
Now she wants to open every fucking can in the house?
Yeah, what was that? Like, functionally?
What do you
this
mean?
Is how I ask questions to my students, too, and they never know what to say.
I don't actually understand what you're asking me. What do you mean?
Functionally, that was meant to be a joke.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
You knew that, even though it wasn't really that funny.
Yeah, I assume it was just like a made-up statement. But yeah, I guess a joke is what it's called. that pretentious.
As it's interesting that you said that earlier, because that's basically what this whole episode's about.
Yeah.
So, like I said before, the internet had a swift 4 days to fill with opinions about this tweet thread before the January 6th insurrection, and the internet did not waste a moment. Some people, like Roderick himself, applauded this story as a good teaching tool and a support of, you know, old-fashioned ingenuity.
I'm sorry, you can't applaud your own story.
Well, yeah, but he would.
Oh, I mean, I'm not correcting you. I'm saying he's an idiot. That's what I'm saying.
But, as we all know, to agree with something doesn't usually incite virality. So...
it was a bunch of people saying he's abusive or something, probably?
Two notable rebuttals, according to Know Your Meme. Within 11 hours, @Jewish_activist said... Almost every single disabled and neurodivergent person can tell you a story about child abuse that they've experienced that is similar to the way Bean Dad abused his child. Make sure your advocacy against child abuse includes disabled and neurodivergent children.
I don't know. I think he is a jerk, but I don't know if I would go that far. That's a lot.
I feel like, I mean, this is one of the problems of our time, isn't it? Like, we have terms that don't have solid definitions.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Like, if your mom doesn't buy the clothes that you want, you could be like, that's child abuse. Everybody knows it's not. But
like, I think parents could be a dick, but I don't like people to say child abuse unless the cops should be called. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a very dramatic term that unless you should be telling child social services, I don't think you should call it child abuse.
Yeah.
But again, you could argue with me, anyone, not I mean you, anyone, but I that's me personally. I think that's a dangerous term to use loosely. Unless the person saying that does think that the cops should be called on that. Maybe they do.
Now, keep the neurodivergent person in mind as we talk about things a little bit later. I might forget to bring it up. Within 16 hours, according to Know Your Meme, I believe this is Johan Evans, said, Bean Dad, like many parents, has taught his daughter essential lessons. And then it's a bulleted list. Your needs are less important than mine. I will not help you when you ask me for help. I will praise myself for denying you help. My ego is always more important than you, and I cannot be trusted.
See, except for the last one, which seems dramatic, I do agree with those statements.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is up his own ass. Like, that whole thing is showing that he's up his own ass. And I will say again, the fact that he said we're not eating anything until we open the can, I think is the worst part. Him saying, I'm not going to open it for you, figure it out, I don't find to be a problem. I don't find it to be a problem, assuming he knows what his daughter is capable of. I would hope he's, like, aware if she'd literally be incapable of doing that. But, yeah, telling her she can't eat until she does it, I think that is a bit much. But again, I think it's more like a fucking dick move, and her father sucks. I don't know that... Yeah, continue.
So the next day, Roderick took to Twitter again.
Ooh, I hope he didn't try to save face, because that's not going to help.
Quote, "Somehow, my story about teaching my daughter how to work out how to use a can opener and overcome her frustration got over onto a version of Twitter where I'm being accused of child abuse. It's astonishing. My kid is fine, everybody." This tweet was followed up by another one. "The only thing people are touchier about than parenting style is dog ownership."
Oh, no. He said that? That's
yeah.
That. Okay. This is not going to end well. I don't remember how this ends, which is why I'm so happy you're doing this.
Nowadays, when you're thrust into the spotlight, people will begin trying to find any and all evidence that supports their opinion of you. And that's what happened with Bean Dad. A little over 24 hours after the original tweet, @VeryHeathMiller posted screenshots of problematic tweets from Bean Dad's early days. I'm sorry, his early dad days. He was a dad when he made these posts.
Okay, I don't know what's about to be said. They're maybe going to be fucking dark, and I'm going to eat my words. But, like, what is with this, like, compulsion to do this? Like, this terrifies me. Because, again, and I'm not actually even saying...
Oh, I have something scarier.
Okay, just because I know, and I will say this right now, and if someone's going to fucking take me down, so be it. But I know I said inappropriate things on the internet when I was younger, and I've learned, and I would never do that now, but I don't necessarily know how to take everything down. So I just think, like, I mean, if they found something from, like, a year ago, sure. But if it was, like, a really long time ago, I think it's kind of, I think it's, like, a little messy to do. But also, like, what person is like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go into his whole archive to show everyone what a dick he is. Like, what is up with that compulsion? I don't know. I don't like this. I don't like when people do this. Anyways, yeah, continue.
I understand. Bean's daughter was a mere 1 year old when some of these tweets came out. I'm not going to read them because I'm not stupid. But they included a joke about rape and three anti-Semitic tweets, among others.
Okay, that's... Regardless... Wait, were they related to his daughter?
No, not at all.
Oh.
Regardless of what you have said on the internet, Marissa, I'm pretty sure that's not going to fit.
No, I haven't made a joke about rape or said anything anti-Semitic. I can say that for a fact.
Within 4 days of the tweet, which was the day of the insurrection, Bean Dad was cut off from Maximum Fun, where he hosted a podcast.
Oh, shit, I didn't realize that. Oh,
their man. Quote, from their release, I should say, "John Roderick co-hosts Maximum Fun's Friendly Fire and has been a guest and performer at many Max Fun events. His use of slurs in past tweets and his inappropriate, aggressive responses to criticism have caused tremendous pain inside and outside our community. John has agreed to an indefinite unpaid suspension from Friendly Fire." Unpaid? You're a fucking podcaster.
Yeah, I don't... Okay.
"We believe his remorse and his efforts to repair the damage he has caused are sincere, and we hope and expect he will take this time for continued personal growth."
Wait, when they say his aggressive response, was it just that one thing you said, or did he say worse things? Because that wasn't that bad.
I really tried to find more examples, but the short version of this is that he deletes his Twitter.
Oh, man.
And I don't feel like scrolling through the same screenshots of the...
Yeah, yeah.
They're all the Bean Dad tweets. Like, they're all the original tweet, not follow-ups.
Yeah.
Another Maximum Fun show, My Brother and Me, stopped using a Long Winter song for their theme.
I wondered why songs changed. I listened to a lot of Maximum Fun shows. I remember there was a point where I was like, huh, I wonder why. Okay, that makes sense.
Eventually, in Roderick on the Line, his weekly podcast with someone named Merlin Mann, there's an adult named Merlin out there, guys. Roderick said, "A dozen people reported me to Child Protective Services."
Oh, man. Okay, see, this is kind of fucked up. I don't like this part. I don't think
And they were... they were obligated to come and interview my family and interrogate my daughter. I don't like how he says, interview my family and interrogate my daughter.
Yeah.
This guy, like, he writes. He was also, I think, like a city councilman in Seattle. But, like, he writes things. Look, there are many times that we don't include in the show where Marissa or I say something stupid. And when you say something stupid off the cuff, I think it's so much different than writing down something asinine and then hitting tweet.
Yeah, that's valid,
So, apparently one investigator spoke to Roderick's daughter for about an hour privately, asking questions like, what do you like about your dad and what do you not like about your dad?
Ooh, this is interesting.
Roderick's...
Oh, sorry.
No. Roderick's daughter told him about this afterwards. It turns out she doesn't like the fact that he gets tired of playing Legos faster than she does.
Okay. That's adorable. Wait, that's an adorable thing for a 9-year-old to say. That's really, okay. Anyway, continue.
So, now we're going to go to Jezebel. From an article that they covered on Bean Dad, Roderick deleted his Twitter account after being criticized for his parenting style, which some might and did call abusive. But perhaps his parents forgot to teach him a 6-hour-long lesson about screenshots being forever.
Oh, man.
On the same day as his maximum fun dismissal, Bean Dad issued an apology on his website.
Okay.
And this is it.
Uh-oh, I bet it's going to be sucky.
Well, I'm sorry, this is selections. By the way, I cut out some tweets in the reading that I did earlier just because he's verbose.
Yeah, I bet. No, you don't even need to explain.
My story about my daughter and the can of beans was poorly told. I didn't do anything wrong, right? But I told the story poorly. That's the way. Story about my daughter and the can of beans was poorly told. I didn't share how much laughing we were doing, how we had a bowl of pistachios between us all day as we worked on the problem.
I don't believe you because she said she wasn't allowed to eat anything else, bro. Also, a bowl. That's funny.
Or that we both had a full breakfast together a few hours before.
Okay.
There's no way she could be hungry. Her mother was in the room with us all day and alternately laughing at us and telling us to be quiet while she worked on her laptop. We all took turns on the jigsaw puzzle.
Okay.
I framed the story. This is the problem, Marissa. I framed the story with me as the asshole dad because that's my comedic persona and my friends and fans know it's, quote-unquote, a bit.
Yeah, okay, bro.
On his list of things that he has demonstrated success in, comedian isn't one of them.
Yep, like I said, how I didn't... That was a joke, I guess, that he made, but it wasn't funny. Anyway.
And back when Marissa and I were in grad school for creative writing, sometimes they talked about creating a persona, like when you would read things or like a certain way that you would act, you know, and it was just like all of this stuff just feels so fake. Like, why would you even do that? Do you think you're not good enough?
Yeah, I would say that's one of the things that me and Pete were not on board with. But boy, do we know a lot of people that had one.
Yeah. Now, in his way, by using it was a bit as an excuse, Bean Dad was ahead of his time. Today, it's a bit is a very common response when people post questionable content.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
All right, back to his apology. As for the many racist, anti-Semitic, hurtful, and slur-filled tweets from my early days.
Gosh.
On Twitter, I can only say this. All of those tweets were intended to be ironic. Sarcastic.
What? Dude, if you're not a comedian, if you are not a known professional...
This is... No, Marissa, pause, because this is going to put you further over the top.
Okay.
I thought then that being an ally meant taking the slurs of oppressors and flipping them to what? mock racism, sexism, homophobia, and bigotry.
This is so bad. Oh my God. Obviously, I'm not going to make you read them, but like, I'm kind of curious what they are. Like, if you could even dream of making that argument, because I'm assuming you can't. He sounds like such a dumb bitch. Just say you're sorry and you learn. I will say right now, I've said inappropriate things on the internet. If they are there, like I said, it's because I was immature and I've learned. I wasn't doing a years-long bit. Like, what is... Oh, my God. Yeah, he really was ahead of his time.
He also says, I am humiliated by my incredibly insensitive use of the language of sexual assault in casual banter.
Man, I wonder what he... Again, not going to say, but it's just like... How, what are you, Tosh.0 or whatever? Like, come on, bro. What?
I just realized that I left something out of my notes that was also pretty significant.
By the way, you said you were embarrassed. I know you didn't say this on air, but you said you were embarrassed by how much research you put into something so silly. I'm obsessed with this episode, and I'm so glad you did it. This is my favorite episode.
With all of this said, I can sort of see both sides here. And I think that, in an attempt to be prolific and cool, John Roderick told a story that made him Bean Dad, one of the worst teachers of all time.
Wait, this is you saying this?
This is me, yes.
Oh, okay.
For example, Dad, what does this bottle of bleach do? Dad, what do you think? Study the bottle and see what you think about it. What else do we do with liquids? Can we do that with this one? That's not the way it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it was, hey, Dad, how do I use this power saw? What you're going to do is teach your kid the steps to using a power saw.
Yeah.
Same thing with a can opener. Now, there's a part of my conclusion, the one that I just stated there, that you're not privy to yet. And this is it.
Okay.
Roderick does a podcast with Jeopardy host Ken Jennings.
He does now?
He has for quite a while, yeah.
Okay.
And if you ask me, Ken Jennings also seems incredibly intolerable.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But he also does one that I mentioned before called Roderick on the Line. To the horror of this show's hosts, someone created a John Roderick wiki, like in admiration, that compiles all the thoughts that he expressed at various points throughout his podcasts, podcast appearances, his Patreon shows, and his writing.
Okay, I only barely know who this man is because I know Pete liked him. How could someone be this into him? Wow.
On the page titled Co-Parenting, there are these selections.
Oh, no, I'm afraid.
At the time, John and his daughter's mother... Oh, I should mention, John Roderick's not married.
Okay.
So, at the time, John and his daughter's mother, her name is Ariella, started to plan having a child together. They had known each other for a long time, but they hadn't really known each other. Mm-hmm. Now, they were about to embark on this secular journey to have a child together, but not in the context of staying together.
I'm sorry, why did he call it a secular journey as opposed to a religious journey? I don't understand.
I guess, I don't...
Is not being married a secular choice? Maybe I don't fully understand what secular means. Anyway, sorry, continue.
I kind of understand what they're saying in that it's not traditional, but...
I know what they mean, but I guess...
I think there's a better word, yeah.
I only know what secular means in relation to religion, so again, maybe I don't fully know what secular means, but okay, continue.
Everybody was telling them that they couldn't do it. Her people told her that she would be ending up all alone, in destitute, raising the child on her own.
Why would they assume that? That's psychotic. Also, I'm sorry, is she... Yeah, I don't know. That's just weird. That's a, because he's definitely gonna leave her, and also does she not have any money?
Well, he's a rock star.
But also, like, and maybe you don't know this, but do we know if she works? Like, I.
Yeah, she's actually, like, apparently pretty. Well, for Seattle, well-known in the cybersecurity
field. So that annoys me. Like, everyone always assumes, like, women, like, don't work or something. So if a man leaves them, they'll be destitute. If she has a job, she'll just be a single mother. She wouldn't be destitute just because a man leaves her. I feel like I was also told that when I was going to move in with Aaron before being married to him. And I was like, I have money. If we break up, I just leave. Why does everyone act like women are helpless? That's neither here nor there. Continue.
In August of 2017, Ariella was reading some old emails between her and John from the time that she was pregnant. They had been negotiating all the basic principles of how they were going to do this. Like, how did they know they could count on the other person? Turns out, they were arguing about things that didn't matter at all. Ariella had read that they would need $1 million to raise a child, but John said that they wouldn't need that money all at once.
Yeah, no shit. Nobody... What?
They had to decide what last name the child was going to get, and a lot of other details.
That's
they
not
had nine.
Deep. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm ignorant because I don't have a child, but like the last name is the least of your worries.
They had 9 months in which to go. By the way, whose last name do you think she got, Marissa?
I mean, his, because he's up his own ass. Yeah.
It took me a long time, but I found the kid's name.
Oh, okay.
They had 9 months in which to go from a coquettish relationship to trusting each other and having a plan. They had to build all that.
Did they not trust each other before? Why were they even in a relationship? I'm sorry. So much annoys me. I'm sorry.
The thing is, Marissa, they weren't in a relationship.
Oh, but what do you mean? They weren't even. I'm sorry. I know they weren't married. They weren't even in a defined relationship?
It doesn't seem like it, no.
Then you know what? Call me old-fashioned, but I mean, it's a little stupid. I am all about not being married. I changed my mind. You don't have to be in a relationship to have a child. But, like, if you want to both parent together and you don't even trust each other, that seems weird. Okay, anyway.
There's still more nuance to learn.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. That's too complicated for me to even voice my opinion. I feel like, I want to know more before I voice my opinion, but I'll just listen. Sorry.
So they had to build all this stuff out within a world where the very best response that they could get from their friends was, well, I guess we'll wait and see. Well-meaning people, a lot of whom are divorced by now, we're telling them that there was no way it is going to work like this, and that they needed to get real. Their relationship is stronger now than ever, and John has never seen it in jeopardy, not even while he was in his... Oh, hold on, Marissa. Let me finish this. Not even while he was in his long-term relationship with millennial girlfriend. Both words capitalized.
What? I'm sorry.
Okay. His relationship with Ariella and his daughter was the thing most important to John, so he wasn't ever going to sacrifice it.
Wait, I'm sorry. He was in a relationship with he had a girlfriend, but then he was the parent. Is that what
yes.
I understand? Mm-hmm. You know what? That's fine. So they're in an open relationship. I guess what I'm sorry. I'm going to let this go. I know this is not the crux of it. I guess it's just like, it's not that I don't think two people can co-parent without being boyfriend, girlfriend. But some people are so insistent on saying they're not in a relationship, but you are in a relationship. You may not be boyfriend and girlfriend, but if you are, like, crafting a life together, I'm sorry, you are in a relationship.
Right.
Maybe it's open, maybe it's loose, but you're not so, like, it doesn't make you cool to say you're not in a relationship. It makes you just seem delusional of the situation. They're
in
a relationship.
I don't think that he's pretending he's not in a relationship, but the nature of the relationship is much more sophisticated than you can understand.
Yeah, okay, I get it. They're in an open relationship, okay?
By 2021, these people were still doing jigsaw puzzles and eating pistachios together, so I suppose their social experiment was a success. And yet, why should I care?
Yeah, I don't know.
The thing I left out of my notes is that there is a company in Seattle that does, like, mini cruises. you know, you go out to sea and then you come back, kind of like a party cruise type thing.
Yeah.
And this company severed ties with John Roderick much, I think it was much later, after the Bean Dad stuff, because another performer accused him of sexually harassing her.
Ooh.
And so, in general, I think we kind of get a vibe for who this guy is.
I mean, I gotta say, what annoys me the most is that I don't know this woman. Maybe she's intolerable too, but everything you've told me would make the idea of having a child with him seem horrendous.
Yeah.
Horrendous.
So, this overeducated man, blessed with time to think and ponder things, has approached marriage and divorce with such moral superiority that it made him seem really lame.
Yeah, he definitely, I gotta say, I value education. He is, yeah, the poster boy of overeducated.
Yeah. They compare their relationship to their friends who had divorced. Like, see, we did the right thing by not trying it at all.
Just like,
or,
get over
yourself. We're above this tradition that you speak of called marriage.
Like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, I, again, totally support people against marriage. But, like, don't fucking feel like you're better. Like, everyone,
right.
or married people who think they're better than people for being married, like, shut the fuck up. Everyone, shut the fuck up.
In other words, what Marissa's trying to say is, this world isn't so absolute. To say that marriage has one singular function for everyone is to deny the definitions that many other people have for marriage.
Yeah.
It's kind of like teaching a kid how to use a can opener. Bean Dad chose his way, and he believes that he was absolutely correct. And he's not open to the possibility that he's not correct.
Yeah.
And this struck me because as I was driving home to New Jersey for Easter break, I'm sorry, I'm an adult. I don't have Easter break. As I was driving home for Easter, I caught a little clip on NPR where they were covering Anthony Hopkins' new movie, where he plays a guy who helps smuggle Jews out of Nazi territory.
Okay.
And towards the end of it, now I realize, well, this is what he said.
When we get fancy ideas about ourselves and about how everything should be, then we're in the nightmare world. Anyone who lives with certainty is doomed to hell. Stalin lived with certainty, so did Adolf Hitler. Certainty that they were right.
And so, am I comparing Bean Dad to Hitler? In a way.
I like that quote, though. I actually really like that quote.
Yes, me too. Maybe I'm way off. Maybe this guy is an asshole, and he's been an asshole his entire life. He's just wearing this, like, Seattle indie rocker costume, you know, quasi-intellectual, you know. What can I say? Maybe I'm wrong about it. And sometimes when confidence meets insecurity, you end up saying really stupid things without thinking about it first because you're so confident.
Yeah.
And if you're doing it on purpose as a bit, it almost feels like your inherent impulse to play an asshole means that you're probably an asshole.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
But of course, we also know that many assholes go really far in the world.
Ugh, I know.
So maybe we're the fools, Marissa.
Yeah, I do need to say I'm not exactly where I'd like to be in life, probably because I'm not up my own ass and full of myself. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm up my own ass to a degree. But I'm not as cocky and delusional as a lot of people. And sometimes I wish I was.
Yeah.
I really feel like I'd succeed more if I was.
It's the one thing that I think if I had a kid, I would just from day one tell them they're the best at everything.
No!
So that way they can rule the world.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Man, I really hate John Roderick at the end of this one.
And some people say he's a really nice guy. But it feels like the podcast that he has with Ken Jennings is almost similar to what I've discussed here, where it's kind of like, well, we're the experts at whatever, and we're going to talk about it and frame it correctly for you. And the guy's got lots of fans out there. I can't remember how many, but he's got a lot of fans out there, and surely he could be doing more harm in the world. But at the same time, his daughter is only 13 right now, and honestly, there's a small part of me that can't wait until she is old enough to have her own social media and put her own thoughts out there so that she can write little posts like, my dad's an asshole.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay. I will say, though, the one thing I will say is I don't think telling her to figure out how the can opener works is that bad in a world where we have Google. I don't think if she asked, what do I do with this bleach, he should have done that. But I think a can opener is just a safe enough item that it's not that bad to be like, see if you can figure it out. But maybe in a less psychotic, self-involved way. Like, oh, why don't you, you know, I'm not going to open it for you. See if you can open it yourself. But, but yeah, I would just say, like, I just want to, I don't fully disagree with that approach, specifically with a can opener. Not that approach, period.
But also in your story to say that she was hungry, that she collapsed in a heap, that she was crying, you know, like all these different things. You're making it sound like you're a horrible father.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not defending the entire story. I just mean in and of itself for someone to say, hey, figure that out, I'm not going to show you. I don't think it's bad. But yeah, if they then like become hungry, collapse, start crying hysterically, I think you need to really see if this is worth it.
Yeah. That shouldn't be the thing that tells you you're on the right track.
Yeah.
But I think you're right, Marissa. I think there's a lot of, like if we had a boomer check in, they'd probably be like, you kids are too soft these days. That's how I learned it, how to use a can opener, you know, something like that. But again, there is, you know, here's something. I don't know how to change my own oil in my car. Nobody taught me how to. Could I watch a YouTube video and figure it out? Probably. Would I? No. Because I don't think – I won't know if I did it right unless somebody is there with me who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I don't want my car to explode.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you can apply that when someone's well-being is on the line. I only think when it's like a little
– But many people would say that changing your oil is not really a big deal.
Oh, I don't know.
So,
I don't
do
that either.
I don't know if, again, that's the right way to do it. Do you just give me a can of, a new bottle of fresh oil and hope that I can figure it out? Or do you take the time to show me the parts that I'm going to be working with, you know, that sort of thing? In a way, she learned a pretty complicated lesson, but to your point, Marissa, she's freaking 9.
Yeah. So I think it's all case by case. I actually don't think it's like black and white, like just if that's an appropriate approach. But he definitely took it too far, regardless of your thoughts on the approach. But also he sucks.
And to say that your kid doesn't, you know, like doesn't intuit reasoning and things like that in a certain way, then what you're learning is maybe this isn't the way that your kid learns best.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways to learn, and maybe we should try one of these other approaches.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, she's like, I'm opening it with a hammer. And it's like, okay, man, if that's what it's going to do.
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to say when she said that, I thought, like, not that she should be opening it with a hammer, but I was like, hey, she didn't give up. She doesn't have to open it your way, bitch.
Yeah.
He did say the mother was in the room. I find it hard to believe. He didn't say the mother was in the room and cheering me on. He just said she was in the room probably being like, just open the fucking can, man. If I was married to you, I'd divorce you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's all.
So, this concludes my coverage of Bean Dad.
Thank
Michael,
you.
Michael, I hope I did justice to the story. And that you are not like a huge Bean Dad fan and you thought that this was going to be me talking about how great he is.
Oh, man, imagine. That would be interesting.
Because I do still love his old albums. They did. The band did just release an album of rarities.
Mm-hmm.
which is really just old material that they packaged into new so that they could sell some things. So, you know, they're still out there. They're still doing their thing, but they haven't made anything new in quite a long time. The point is that they're like the Goo Goo Dolls in Buffalo. They're from Buffalo. They played in Buffalo for tons of years before they became famous. And so when they go back to Buffalo, everybody loves them. Same thing with Seattle. These guys don't need to make new songs because they can just play the old ones and everybody's happy to hear them.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Moral of the story, guys, check your confidence. I always tell my mom often goes, I'm so sorry for what I did to you guys. You guys don't have the confidence that I wish you did. And I go, Mom, I would rather have no confidence than to be a huge fucking asshole.
That's psycho. Yeah. Oh, that's fun. Yeah, that was very interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's time for birds. It's time for birds. It's time for birds. It's time for birds.
You got anything to plug this week, Marissa?
Plug.
I'm going to take Marissa's thinking time to issue an apology for a lack of Pete's previews. I don't know if I'm actually busy, but I feel like I'm stressed busy, so I haven't gotten to them in a while.
Don't apologize.
I'll get there.
We create an insanely large amount of Patreon content, and by we, I mean you. And don't apologize.
I was really proud of myself for doing that on a regular basis, so I've let myself down.
How frequently did you do it?
Once a week.
Yeah, that's a lot, Pete. No.
It's not a lot to do, though.
Yeah, but it's too much to a point where, like, when you fall short of that, you're going to feel guilty. And all I know is I have a weekly Substack, and it is so hard. It is so hard. And now I've locked myself in, which you actually told me you shouldn't lock yourself into that, but I did anyway. And because I knew if I didn't that I would let it fall by the wayside, but now it is so much work. So, you know what, Pete? Give yourself some grace, because I do Patreon content once a month. And I think that is a frequency that is fine.
So are you plugging Grace?
Yeah, I'm plugging Grace. So I'm plugging giving yourself grace. Anyway, guys, you can call us at 570-POD-WAD-1, or you can email us at
y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
And as always, feel free to slide into my DMs. And yeah, thanks for listening.
You can do that at Riz Vandal, by the way.
Oh yeah, oops, at Riz Vandal.
And in case you're wondering, I don't really have anything to plug, so Marissa kind of didn't put me on the spot, which I appreciated. And also, we have a website called y'allheard.me.
Oh, yeah, you didn't plug. Apologizing for not making Patreon content isn't a plug. I just accepted that as a plug.
Hey, guys, I sold a La Brea shirt at my store. Yeah. I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Yeah, I'm very proud of you, Pete. That wasn't sarcasm.
I made 95 cents off of it.
Hey, it's more than nothing.
Stay safe out there.
Bye!